Every Thursday morning, we check in with the city of Bloomington, and the deputy mayor is our good friend Mick Renheisen. Keith, say hello to Mick Renheisen.
Good morning, Mick.
Hello, Mick.
Good morning, Keith. Good morning, Glass.
How is everybody doing getting their sidewalks salted? We've had the precipitation stop since Monday afternoon. We just want to keep sure. I mean, it's been a couple days. Let's get out there and get those finished up today, right?
Yeah, I think we're seeing progress and understand that it was a lot to do a couple days apart from each other, those two snow events, and then it turns into ice, which we all love after that happens. But people are getting out there and doing that, and thanks for reminding them, because we certainly don't want to have to ticket anybody for not keeping their sidewalks and areas in front of their shops and homes safe for others to pass by, because it's ice is going to be there for a while with the freeze and thaw that we're going to have.
We had the Department of Public Works Director Adam Wason join us live on Friday morning as we got prepared for snowpocalypse NATO cane number one on Friday. And then obviously we had more fun over the weekend into Monday afternoon and Monday morning and all that stuff. And the crews, as we know, whether it's trash, they can't go out if the wind chill is minus 10. We know we've had that this week. So we just ask people also to be patient on pickup and things like that.
That's right. Our schedule gets altered, as you just indicated, due to a weather policy for our crews being outside at minus 10 or below weather. They just wait in the shop till it warms up, and then they're out trying to catch up on picking up your trash or your recyclables. And so if it happens again, and it probably will, you'll just have to be patient as they get behind a little bit to pick those things up.
Now, that's not the same crew that's running your plows, right? You've got multifaceted.
No, different group, Public Works, still within the same division of Public Works.
Gotcha.
The street department's responsible for the snow plowing, and sanitation is a different division than Public Works.
And now we know, and we'll just be patient, and we'll try with all the snow there to make sure you get your carts in the right spots. Everybody's going to be a little patient this week. It's just a degree of difficulty, not always raring to go. Speaking of degrees of difficulty, there won't be much this week. The Career Builder Challenge is in Palm Springs, some of the easiest courses on tour, but it is desert golf, Mick. It's not Hawaii golf, but at least we can watch on TV and think warm thoughts.
That's right. That's a beautiful setting with the mountains in the backdrop there, really green down in the valley and really brown and a contrasting color in the mountains and in the area around Palm Springs. So just like you said, Glass, it's another opportunity to try to stay warm by watching somebody else play in a warm climate.
That's right. Osmosis through our television sets. Speaking of osmosis, I keep beating myself over the head with the newspaper trying to have that information from the commission or the council meeting about plan commissions and stuff that's going on. That's why we bring you in every Thursday, because you do a great job of translating some of the more difficult elements of what goes on here. I'm going to admit that these are hard to follow. It seems like we have a new planning thing, an ordinance thing, a comprehensive plan for this, a transportation plan for that. I'm getting lost in the shuffle. Can you help me? What happened last night?
We do have a lot of plans going on right now, don't we? Well, last night was the culmination of the City Council's review of the Comprehensive Master Plan, and you'll recall, and your listeners will recall, that is the guiding document for how our built environment and our community suggests should be built in the future. Last time that plan was updated was 2002, so, you know, it's pushing 16 years old. That's not ideal. You'd like to get those updated in the under 15-year window, so we're a little behind on that, and this is, you know, just the guiding piece that kind of sets overarching policy about how the built environment should look. It talks about where student housing should go, where it shouldn't go, where commercial, retail, height, and those kind of things come in the Unified Development Ordinance, which is the phase we're about to go to now that the comprehensive plan has passed the council's purview. It does have to go back to the Plan Commission, who initially passed the comprehensive plan and moved it forward, kind of like Congress does between the House and the Senate. Plan Commission moved it to the City Council. City Council amended it, moves it back to the Plan Commission. We anticipate the Plan Commission will ratify the changes on February 5th, which coincides with the beginning of our Unified Development Ordinance review process. This is where the sort of the rules are written. We've talked about guidelines in the comp plan. Now we go to specifics. How high can a building be in certain parts of the community? What kind of setbacks, how far back from the curb should it be, how high and how far does it step back in height when it gets to a certain height, and all those other specifics are the things that the development community needs to know as they want to develop buildings in our community. So that's what the Unified Development Ordinance defines for the developers and for our community, so people know when they buy a place, they know what restrictions are going to be there for others to develop around them, for example. That takes about 13 to 15 months to complete, and that includes review and approval by the Plan Commission at the end of the process and review and approval by the City Council. And then we have a new set of rules for development of our community, so we anticipate that's obviously going to be sometime in the spring of 2019 before all that happens. There's still a lot of public input to gather on the Unified Development Ordinance, and we're going to kick that process off the week of February 5th through the 7th when our consultant Clarion from Denver and Cincinnati, they have firms in both cities, will come in and lead some public input sessions that kicks off the Unified Development Ordinance process. So that's an important one, one that, again, follows suit with the comp plan, only happens once every 15 years or so. We hope moving forward these things are updated more organically, so as conditions change, if we get too much of something we've asked for in a certain part of town, I'll use student housing because it seems to be what a lot of people think about. You know, we wouldn't wait 10 years if we overdevelop student housing in a particular part of town. The development community reacts quickly, and if that happens or would happen, just for an example, then I would hope that we would be we would be ready to revisit that and say, okay, that's enough. Now let's change the UDO and reflect what just happened in the real-time market.
Here's a vague question for you, but what is enough? Who should determine what enough is? Is it not in my backyard? Is it?
That's a great question.
This isn't easy, is what I'm trying to get at. We have a hard enough time trying to keep up with it and figure it out, but not every city is the same. Not everything's the same. When do we get, because we were just doing a story last half hour about breaking points on, we know what the problem is. We needed to have steps before we got to knowing what the problem is. Is there something in place from these consultants that says, hey, when you get to point A, you probably should start looking at it before you get to point D and throw your hands up and say, well, we're inundated with student housing?
Well, certainly the consultants will provide guidelines and standards from best practices around the country. But here's the thing that I've learned in my public service career. Everything is local, is relative to the local market. So the standards that might be uniform around the country generally guide how we do things doesn't mean it's the right thing for Bloomington. Bloomington people need to decide what's right for Bloomington. So all of these folks that I mentioned in the chain of approvals, Plan Commission, City Council, the mayor, our administration, we all report to the public. So if the public says it's too much and it starts to feel like it's uncomfortable for whatever reason that means, right, that there is some not in my backyard elements of this, and we have to be cognizant, the folks that represent the policymakers and the guidelines that get adopted eventually, that we can't just listen to everybody and say, well, I don't want that here, so put it over there. Someone has to go, well, that's the best interest of the community has to be represented too holistically. And I think that's the administration's role, is to kind of filter that out and help guide those that have to approve things. But we have to listen carefully to the community to make sure we know what the consensus is on things.
And that's where I've always...
consensus is just that. You know, it's not 100% ever. It's sometimes 51 to 49, you know, right? It's just a little over the majority, and that's sometimes the best you're going to get.
But sometimes when free markets intercede with that, we talk about, well, we don't want student housing. Well, if Mick and Glass Construction builds a three-story dealy hickey over on 6th and whatever street it is, and we charge $2,000 a month for our 900-square-foot micro flat, and college students buy it, well, how do you keep them from not buying it? How do you balance young how does that all work?
Right. So there's another great question, and how do we drive? When I use student housing, it's just an example because a lot of people talk about that. We need student housing. The university is going to continue to add students. They just Provost Robel mentioned yesterday at the Bloomington Economic Development Corporation meeting the largest freshman class in history at IU with 8,001 students.
And it seems like every year next year it'll be 8,100, and the year after that it'll be 8,200. I get where you're going.
Places to live. So we have to be responsive to that. But we have to find the right places for those things. So right now, the pressure point's downtown, right? Everybody's like, okay, we've got enough. What's enough? I don't know, but you can tell by most of what we see in surveys that we send out, and I think you're well aware of my history with surveys.
Yes.
We're going to do another one in 2019, and you know, we'll see if the needle moves on some of these issues that we polled the community on in 2017. So at any rate, when you get those data points, what we have to do with the comprehensive plan in the UDO is guide where the development should go, not necessarily stop it. It's going to keep happening. We know that. That's growing communities should have those, would love to have our problems if this is such a thing as a problem. And so people would call it that. To us, it's just where do you drive the growth of that particular student housing element, but also other housing. We've heard from other businesses that are growing, Cook, Catalan, the tech businesses. We don't have places for our people to live, and they're not on the affordable housing scale. They're at all levels of the income scale, and there's not enough housing stock for them either. So we as a city have to find where those things can go. Now, you know, we just announced we're buying 24 acres at the hospital site. We haven't planned that yet. We're going to have a whole lot of public process, starting with the Urban Land Institute's week-long session that they'll do August 8th through the 13th. We can talk more about that in the future if you'd like, and that's going to help guide some of the initial steps for what that 24 acres might be repurposed for when the hospital leaves.
Is it government's job to have housing created, or is this more of a free market versus government thing? I'm fascinated by that, because you could build anything you want over there on the hospital site. But if it stays empty and it isn't used, oh, man, that's a whole other can of worms, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have to be responsive to the market. We can't just say, well, we'd like to have, 2,000 tiny homes there. Well, if the market doesn't support 2,000 tiny homes, that's a silly move.
Yeah.
But we the city's not going to develop and define exactly what goes there. We're going to use the public process and find out what makes the most sense. That will include, of course, people who develop and will have to be responsive to what the market suggests can go there. That's why ULI will start the process, or the Urban Land Institute. They're experts in looking at reutilization of sites, and they've got a lot of experience with reutilizing old hospital sites that have been abandoned. And this one's not, I don't want to make it sound like it's a abandonment and they're leaving the old building there. I don't know if it's commonly known in the public, but in our agreement with IU Health, the main hospital building will be scraped, torn down. So that's not an option. They're not going to leave it for us to figure out how to repurpose it, because they've seen examples of communities where it sits, and it sits for decades, and it's an eyesore, and it's a problem to redevelop, and it's costly to maintain. And it, you know, so that decision's been made. Some people won't like that, but you'll have to look at reimagine the site without the main hospital as a building that can be repurposed that's going to be torn down. So the question about who decides these things, yeah, the market absolutely has to factor into this. We will certainly be responsive to listening to those who know how to develop sites. The city won't develop that site. We'll just try to help guide with public input and consulting advice what makes potential sense to go there, and then let the market kind of help come in and effectuate that.
Mick, you've used the term rules, you've used the term guidelines. What I think is confusing to everyone is there going to be something that I will know precisely what I can or cannot do in a specific area at a specific time?
Well, you know, Keith, you and I officiated together for a long time, and that's what rule books do. It says, if you do this, then this happens, right? If you hold someone on the offensive line and you're trying to protect your quarterback and I see you do it, I'm going to flag you, and that's a 15-yard penalty, so or 10-yard penalty. So, you know, those are the absolute rules of games, of contests, and we try to set rules that guide development that give you a pretty good predictable way of doing it. However, there are variances. People always come in and say, well, you know, I just had to pay X number of dollars for this lot. If I only can build to 35 feet, I can't really make it work. So, you know, can I go a little higher? Can I be a little more dense in units? And those variances are what the Plan Commission has to hear, and sometimes the council, depending on the nature of the development. So, you know, you do want to set as many things as you can to predict and make it predictable for developers and the community to know what's going to happen in respective areas. But but it can't be set in stone, and that's why variances happen. So it's not quite like rule books that we use as officials. Although,
well, it's more like golf. You have a book of rules and a book of decisions. So
yes.
you can see if this, then that. And I think that does make some sense, and we appreciate you clearing that up for us here on, well, at least to get us a figure out a timeline and how this is all going to work itself out on a Thursday morning. You've got Winterpalooza coming up. I want to make sure people are aware of that. It's not until next month, but it sounds like a pretty fun deal over at Olcott Park.
I am going to have to get more information on that one because I'm not real.
Well, let me give you some information.
What I don't know today. You've
been giving us plenty. The Bloomington Parks and Recreation Winterpalooza is coming up on February 10th from 2 until 5 at Olcott Park. You can buy a plywood snowman, decorate it for the Snowman Village. They'll have great prizes to win. And if you'd like more information, you can call 812-349-3700. So we're helping get that message out for you guys as well. You could have had it last weekend and had real snowmen being made with all of that. We're a little tight on time this morning. We thank you for your time. That's a great explanation. If people tuned in late, don't worry. We have it at WGCL Radio later this morning. And, again, I sound like a broken record here, but I thank you, and it does help. Thanks, man.
Happy to help. Thanks, guys.